Happy Mother's Day. You all look so incredible and amazing, and I am so thankful that I get to be here with you today. We are going to be in the book of Esther. And if you've never read the book of Esther, I want to encourage you to go check it out because it's such a good story. It's an incredible story, and here's why. The book of Esther doesn't actually ever mention God, which is so unique to me. But you know what? He shows up through his people. So we're going to focus on a few of the characters in Esther. Esther is a beautiful Jewish girl who actually lost both of her parents, and she was taken in by Mordecai, her cousin. He came and he protected her. He was guiding her, leading her. He was providing for her, and God uses Mordecai through this story. We're also going to focus on Haman, who was spoke with the king. The king really looked to him for his wisdom and for his knowledge, and he had the ear of the king, which was incredible in the story of how it gets shifted and moved. In Esther 3:5-6, it reads, "When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, he was filled with rage. He had learned of Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the empire." So let me give you just a little bit of context. The Jews had been exiled, and they were in a place that was not their home. And when Haman was placed in a position of higher position to be bowed down to and worshipped, Mordecai was like, "I'm not doing that. I don't bow to you," and it made Haman incredibly angry. What's incredible in this story is that tension right there between Haman and Mordecai was going to affect the purpose for Esther. We are going to look at what God is going to do in our lives and what he's doing in our lives with the purpose that he's given us. Today, my message is titled, "The Voice is a Choice." Let's pray. Father God, I love you. I thank you, God, that you brought us here to this place and this time. Lord, that you have a word for each and every one of us. And today, I pray that our hearts and our minds are open. God, that we are willing to hear your Holy Spirit in the areas that we need to surrender to you, the ones that we need to lift up to you, God, the ones we need to work on, Lord. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that we turn and face you. I thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing today. I pray that you bless all the moms on this special day, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, some of you might not know this, some of you may. We have quite a large family. We have 5 children, and I homeschool them, and it's a lot of work, as you can imagine. So I'm gonna take you through a day in my house. In the morning, I get up and I get coffee, and then I get dressed, and I have to go get all the kiddos up. There's always that one, right, moms, that doesn't want to get out of bed, and you're just like yanking them by their heels, pulling them out of the bed, sprinkling water on their face, flipping the lights on. "Come on, child, get up, get up, get up." And we start our day at 9 o'clock, so we get them downstairs, get them going in breakfast. And there's always one that's just like, "I want hamburgers." I'm like, "It's 9 a.m. So we get through breakfast. There's always a mess in the kitchen, and then we stop and we go sit and do devotion. And then after devotion, we sit down and we start to do our schoolwork. Now, how many of you know with homeschooling, there's a lot of different things that you got to go through? Mine, because there are 5 and there's different grades, there's 5 different subjects and 5 different grades and 5 different all the things that I got to run back and forth. And they're all in different points in the house, right? So I'm running through the house to do pre-algebra with the high schoolers and then running back to the kitchen to do adding and subtracting with the little one. This one over here needs help with his fix-it grammar, and this one over here needs help with his science project. "Mom, I gotta go to the store and I gotta go get stuff for my science project." So now I'm doing that in my head, and we gotta jump in the car and I gotta go take him to the gym, and then I gotta take him over to the store to grab snacks. Oh, how many know boys need snacks? "We're out of snacks, Mom." I'm like, "Get a job. You want to live here? Get a job. I got to go fold laundry." Oh my goodness, moms, the laundry. The laundry of 7 people in a house, can you imagine? So in between the laundry, right, I'm starting the load. I got to take the load to the room and I got to unfold it or throw it on the bed and fold it all up. And then I got to do another load of towels, and then another one needs help with another subject. I get through my day. Anybody else tired? All the moms are like, "You're supposed to be calming me down on my anxieties up here." I sit down on the couch. And I'm like, whew, in walks my husband. "What did you do today?" Oh, you want to fight? Oh, you want to fight? I got you. We all have something we're put on this earth to do. We have a purpose that God has given each and every one of us. And so in this story, I want us to talk about three different voices, how we hear them, and how to manage them. Okay? Number one is outside voices. What is an outside voice? That's anything that's not your own. So it could be a family member, it could be a friend, it could be a coworker, a boss, it could be the social media, internet, people you don't even know who've got thoughts and opinions about your life. They're going to come in and they're going to talk to you and freely give you their perspective of what you're doing in your life. This happened to Esther. Esther 3:8 says, "Then Haman said to the king, 'There is a certain race of people scattered through all the province of your empire. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. If it please the king, issue a decree that they be destroyed.'" Haman didn't attack Esther directly, but he did attack her people. Now, part of the crucial story is that Esther, in an amazing move of God, becomes queen. She gets to stand in this position where the king calls her into this place, into this position to have authority. And what's more incredible is Mordecai, in his wisdom, had told Esther, don't tell them your nationality. Don't tell them who your people are. So Haman now charges this decree. He gets the king to make this decree against her people. And it's also against her. It starts to come against her purpose. There's always an outside voice that's going to come in to try to destroy your story. Maybe some of us have been there before. Think back. Maybe when you were a kid or even now, maybe someone has said, man, you're stupid. They have spoken into who they think you are and say that you are. Maybe somebody has said, you're not as pretty as your sister. You're not as smart as your brother. How many of us have had moments like this? How about this one? Man, you're so perfect. That sounds good, but then what happens to us? We have this pressure to be perfect. We have this pressure to not make a mistake, and we live underneath what that person has put on us. How about this one? You'll never succeed. It doesn't matter if you're a mom, a dad, a student, an empty nester. Somebody is coming in trying to weigh down and break your purpose. They have an opinion and a thought that they freely want to give us. When Aaron and I got married, I knew growing up I wanted to have a big family. I knew that I wanted to have lots of kids. Well, when we got married, we had a surprise twins first and ended up having to have a C-section. And in that process, the doctors and nurses, in their wisdom and in their knowledge and in their education, were telling me through their experience of how dangerous it was going to be to have a natural birth. They were telling me it would never actually happen for me, that it wasn't possible. Now, I understand that birth is different for everybody, and I love that. But for me, I knew deep down inside that's something I was created to do. And I was so devastated. Maybe some of you have ever been there before. Somebody has spoken something into your life that now makes you feel like you can't accomplish it because they think, they've said, they put that on you. And I have learned over time, in this moment, what God wants us to do with the outside voices. Because you can't control them, right? They're going to come in no matter what you do. So we need to quiet the voice. We need to recognize the permission that we give to those outside voices. If you're letting them into your life and affecting your life that way, we have given them that permission. And we need to remind ourselves that it's okay to say, thank you, but I don't accept that for my life right now. You quiet that voice. It doesn't mean that those doctors were trying to hurt me. I think in their education and the way that they were looking at life, they were giving me their opinion. Now, I chose to go and research, and if it had been that case where it was going to be dangerous for myself or future children, of course I would have walked the way I needed to be safe. But that's not the end-all, be-all. And we need to remember that in the moment when we're working with outside voices, we need to understand that it is only one perspective, and we can choose to say, thank you, but I don't receive that for my life right now. Number two,
The inside voice. This one is what it is. This is an inside voice. You got it. I got it. You can be a mom, a dad. You can be a kid, a grandma. We all got it. We all walk with it. Esther in 4:10 says, "Then Esther spoke to Hathach and commanded him to go to Mordecai and say, 'All the king's servants and all the peoples of the king's province know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, is to be put to death.'" It was the law. She was walking with knowing logic. Esther's voice, her inner voice said what? "I'm gonna die. If I go choose to do this, to go and help, I am going to die." Maybe these voices have been inside your head before. This one's a little trickier, and here's why. When we have our inside voice, it happens to sound a little bit like truth, doesn't it? It has a little bit of truth wrapped in a lie. And so we have to figure out how to unfold that to find the seed of truth to work on it. Laundrie and I are not friends. My husband can attest. Growing up, I was learning how to do that on my own, and I don't know, maybe not everybody does this, but I would just throw everything in the wash with soap and cold water. It got clean. What? But I married me a man who was very knowledgeable in particular about his laundry. And I had a lot of learning curve. I shrunk a lot of shirts, y'all. He would tell me, "You fricasseed my shirt. I'm trying to stretch it out." And every time it would go in there and it would come back out, I'd be like, "I did it again. Oh my gosh, he's gonna be so mad," my inner voice. "He's gonna be so mad at me." And I got really good at figuring out the ways that he was particular with his laundry and how to take care of his clothes to honor him and love him and hang up the things that he wanted hung dry. He swears the dryer is for towels only. See? And I got better at it. I was really good, particular, very meticulous, I want to take care of this. So I started a load of laundry. This was probably like, I don't know, 3 or 4 months ago. Threw everything in after I'd separated it, put on the right temperature. I was really proud of myself. Got through the laundry. Friends, I come back, open the door, and to my horror, I pulled out his favorite beanie. Yeah, it was this big. I couldn't even get it on a baby doll. I stretched and stretched and stretched, and I was panicking on the inside. And I felt like Esther was like, "I'm gonna die. He gonna kill me. I'm gonna die." It was his favorite beanie. And I didn't realize, I didn't even get it in the dryer, y'all. I was like, it shrunk in the water. Yeah, oh my gosh. It was, woo. I had to stop and recognize that our inner voice doesn't need quieting. It needs managing. We have to manage that voice within us. So we need to take what we don't control and compare. So don't try to control that voice. You're going to compare it to the Word of God. Because it's not about what the outside world says. It's what God says. We're going to take that truth and we're going to take the steps we need to work towards what God is doing in our life with that voice. Everybody here has at one point or another, whether it's a little bit or a lot, has suffered and struggled with anxiety. What is anxiety? It's unmanaged inside voice. Unmanaged inside voice. If you are feeling anxiety today inside of your life, your marriage, your finances, your kids, your work, you have taken it and let it run crazy inside your head. You don't control it. You compare it. You take it to the Word of God and what God says. Maybe some examples have been like this. "I have failed. Now I'm a failure." That's the lie. No, you had a moment you failed, but you are, God has called you more than a conqueror. You can look to his word and see who he calls you to be. And you can take that, unwrap it, take the seed of truth and say, "God, this is who I know I am. I may have had a moment I failed. I screamed at my kids today and I made them cry. I wasn't even mad at that. But then I turned around and realized how much I had hurt them. And I was like, oh, you have that moment, moms, where you can say, man, I have messed up. I have failed. I have broke their heart. But the truth is, God is like, no, you are my daughter. You are my son. I have called you to be more than that moment of feeling like you failed. How about this one? I'm not pretty. Why? Because someone said you were ugly? God has made you in his image. He has called you beautiful, chosen, loved. We need to remember to unfold what we hear in our head, grab the truth, and let that be what we stand on. We quiet the outside voice, and we manage our inside voice. Number three is the divine voice. Esther 4:13, then Mordecai told them to reply to Esther, "Do not think for a moment that because you're in the palace, you will escape when all the other Jews are killed. If you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise for the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will die." This included Mordecai. It's not like he was trying to get onto her. He's like, our lives are in the balance. This is my favorite part of the verse. He tells her, "And who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this?" God spoke through Mordecai. He came in a moment when Esther was feeling so unsure. She was inside her inside voice. She knew the law. There was outside voices that were coming against her. But God had called her to more than this. And we can trust in his name. Psalms 37:23 says, "The Lord directs the steps of the godly. He delights in every detail of their life." Family, God already knows. He's already gone before us. He's already seen how it's going to play out. And he is the voice that we can lean in on. With this voice, we embrace. We look to embrace what God is saying to us. We look to embrace how he speaks to us, how he encourages us in his word. So how do we do that? How do we hear the voice of God? Because some of us are like, is it a big booming sound? Is it speaking through a burning TV set? It's not like the movies, right? Like, we all look at Hollywood like, oh, it's like that. No, it's not always like that. But God speaks. Pastor Aaron talked about it a few weeks back. God speaks through his word, through his people, through prayer, and through worship. Worship is one of my most favorite ways. It's a space and a place where we can go into the presence of God. You can do it in your car, in your home, in a community like this, and you can find and feel the Holy Spirit move. Esther said in 4:15, "Then Esther told them to reply to Mordecai, 'Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast on my behalf. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, and I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go. I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish.'" Esther stepped into her purpose. She was not going to let the voices outside or inside stop her. She was afraid at one point. She said it, "I could die. You understand what you are asking me to do." But she understood that embracing the divine voice of God, she had an opportunity to move through her purpose that he designed. He gave her that purpose. He directed her there to that moment. She was a humble Jewish girl who got called into this place for such a time as this. Guys, how many times have we been in our life walking and moving, and all of a sudden we realize how God shows up? And it wasn't an accident. It was ordained by God. So how did she do that? She paused, she prayed, and she proceeded forward. She paused with her fast. That's what we need to do. In moments when we feel unsure, when the world is coming down on us, when social media is harping you and telling you all this and that of their opinion and brokenness and thoughts, that stuff is so fake and it's just terrible for us. If we have a family member or a friend who's not healthy, but we keep letting him come into our life. We keep letting him come and say things to us and speak into our life and move on our purpose or make us feel less than, make us feel like we have missed the mark. We're a bad mom. We're a bad dad. No,
We need to stop. We need to pause. We need to pray and then proceed forward. I love so much how God moves. Let me tell you, before we end, she went boldly before the king, ready to sacrifice her life. And he listened. In that move, you got to read the story, in that boldness of her stepping into her purpose and not detouring, she saved an entire nation of people. God moved through her so that lives could be spared. It's an incredible thing to know when you are standing in the presence and the purpose of your Heavenly Father. He wants that for each and every one of us. His voice is the one that matters, like the song we sang today. If he said, let the stone roll away, it rolled away. Let the bones come alive, and they did. Let the grave let him go. God moves so deeply with so much purpose. It's not an accident. He is an orderly God who loves each and every one of us. If you are feeling lost in your purpose, or you feel like you have gave way to those outside voices and they are tormenting you, maybe in your marriage or your friendships or your business, your finances, I want to encourage you to quiet those voices. Quiet them down. Thank you. I don't accept that for my life right now. I don't accept that for my life right now. I know who I am. If it's your inside voice and you've said to yourself, man, I have lived inside this inside voice, letting fear and anxiety wreck my life, I want to encourage you, open your hands and let yourself unfold that inside voice. Let God lead you and guide you of what he's telling you. Pull the truth out and stand on his word. And in that divine voice, let's embrace what God is saying. He is moving so miraculously. He's moving through people. He's moving through prayer, and he's moving through worship. At this time, I want to encourage you to stand to your feet. We're going to end service just a little bit different. I'm going to pray over you, over the mamas, and over everybody as we move forward in our life, knowing how to quiet, to manage, and to embrace. Father God, I love you. Oh God, how I love you. You are a divine, immaculate God. How you have moved in each and every one of our lives to bring us to this moment, that it's not an accident, that our steps were divinely ordered by your hand. How you have called each and every one of us to a purpose that will glorify you, God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing in each and every one of our lives, bringing healing to our marriages, bringing healing to our kids and our relationships, God, bringing healing to each and every one of us individually, where we have lost the sight of who you've called us to be. I pray, God, that we remember we are made in your image. God, that you look upon us and you desire to have life and love and relationship with us. That you gave your only son so that you could be back in relationship with us. That we could come back to you, God. I pray, God, that we never take that lightly. That we never forget, Lord, the sacrifice that you made out of love. So that we don't have to be alone. So that we don't have to hurt and be broken continually, God. Lord, we thank you for your hand upon each and every one of us, Lord. Right now, I pray for all the mamas, all of them, Lord, who have looked to you in every circumstance, good or bad. And I pray, Lord Jesus, that they are filled right now with so much love, that they feel your Holy Spirit around them, that they feel the love of the people around them, to know that they are seen, that we love them dearly, God, that they are precious, Lord God, that they are special and never forgotten. We thank you, Lord, for all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.